about as nervous now as I was the first time I preached. 47 years ago, first opportunity to preach was here at home church because the Lord called me. A lot of faces I've seen. Some have gone home glory, others are still here. We thank the Lord for that. Well, I know you're all tired. Brother Gordon says, I have as long as I want to preach. I says, yeah, but there won't be anybody left. We're not going to keep you. I've got a message, but I have learned in my later years to cut my messages in half, and that way I can keep them within the limits of what people can endure. So you're not going to get all this message tonight. It's just going to be the heart of it. Let's put it that way, the most important part. But we do thank the Lord for the opportunity and for the invitation from Brother Gordon, for this church, of course, and all the things that you have done to put this conference on and for the time of fellowship. I know I hate the fellowship to end because it's been so sweet and good. But one of these days, we're not going to have to worry about partying anymore. And I think it's a lot closer than most of us realize. I really do. I think the coming of the Lord is even at the door. Could even, before I get through preaching tonight, burst upon the scene. What a glory that would be. To be able to caught all together, to be with the Lord and all the saints of God from the beginning of time. There at the very presence of Jesus Christ. We'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. If you was here the first night, you heard Brother Randy read the same text I'm going to read. I guess this is probably why the Lord divided us this year. Brother Gordon usually has Randy preach about the same time that I do. And I said, if that happened, he would just have to read his text, and I would just say, that's the text, and we'll just preach a different subject out of it. But in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the last few verses of that chapter, again, we want to start in verse 35 of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Brother Randy preached upon the need of patience out of this portion of Scripture. We're going to preach upon living by faith, because that's exactly what it says there in verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. And we want to be an encouragement to you, and we want to end this conference on this high note, that we have a faith that we can live by, which will, my friend, be great rewarding to us. If you want joy, if you want peace in your Christian life, if you want contentment, if you want all of the blessings that God could possibly bestow upon you, then I would simply say this, live by faith. Simply trust in the Lord. Walk according to the course that God has set out in the Word of God for you. Because that's the pleasant path. That's the best way. That's where you find all of the blessings of God. Because what you're doing then, you're walking in the light as He's in the light. And when you walk with the Lord, my friend, you can't do any better than have that kind of fellowship in your life. Amen. And the blessings. The Scripture tells us that there's two ways to walk or to conduct your life. Paul says you can walk by sight or you can walk by faith. If you walk by sight, which I'm afraid that many times we find ourselves doing, is when we find we have a lot of problems. We get ourselves into a lot of troubles. That simply means that we lean to our own understanding. We allow this world to dictate to us how we feel and the motivations that we ought to have in our life. But to walk by faith, my friend, I would simply say this to you. The Christian life is really the most simple life that a person could live.
Amen.
I didn't say it was easy. Don't misunderstand me. It's not easy, but it's simple. And the simplicity of it is, walk by faith. That's all there is. In every situation, every circumstance of life that confronts you, do what God tells you to do. Without any doubts, without any fears, because you'll find that God will never bring you into a state of being ashamed if you walk as He tells you to.
Amen.
It's the place of blessing. We make the Christian life hard when we have a tendency to lean to our own understanding, to let the situations of life dictate to us how we feel and how we react to it. We can, every problem that confronts us in life, we can have a measure of contentment. We can be thankful for them. But it takes faith. It takes faith. We simply tonight want to bring before you some simple thoughts as we gather from the Word of God here in this portion of Scripture, and also in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which of course is the chapter of faith. But the Scripture says simply this: the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say that the just might live by faith, or the just should live by faith, but it says the just shall live by faith. Now, let me first of all start off with this thought. If you have never been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have never, my friend, in your life come to the place to realize the corruption of your sinful nature and the corruption of your sinful life, and have had a godly sorrow in your heart for the lack of love and devotion to the God that created you, and you have never come to the place in your life to turn from that in your heart and in your mind, turning to God and turning to Jesus Christ by faith. If you've never had that instant in your life, never had that situation in your life, my friend, you cannot live by faith. It's an impossibility. Because the things of God to you are foolishness. They're foolishness. And you can't live by faith because you don't believe God. The first thing about believing God is doing what God tells you to do concerning your sin. And that's confessing it before God and embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Have you ever had that experience? I believe salvation starts off with an experience with God.
Amen.
And I believe everyone that is saved by the grace of God can go back to a time in their life that they know their corruption, they know their condemnation, they know that they were worthy of everlasting hell, and they cried out unto God for mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. I believe that. I can go back to the time in my life. It was in a dormitory room in the University of Michigan. In the spring of 59, Hinsdale House. It was in the afternoon.
Amen.
The Lord saved me.
Amen.
And He changed everything. I had aspirations of being a chemical engineer. I was in the third year. That all changed. God worked a miracle of grace in my heart.
Amen.
I knew the moment that I trusted in Jesus Christ. I might not have known the term justification, but I felt it.
Amen.
Declared righteous.
Yes.
The condemnation of sin rolled away. That guilt, that feeling of defilement, joy and peace came in place of it. And I know that it was real because the first thing I said, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yep.
And I thirsted for the Word of God for the first time that I never did before. And I took my Bible and I started to read it. Oh, I had read it before, but it didn't mean anything to me. But now it did. I was just. I was accepted of my God. Not because of anything that I was, anything that I would ever do, but simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
My Lord, which He shed for my sins when He died upon the cross of Calvary. And I've been trying ever since to live by faith,
Amen.
To trust Him.
Amen.
I've failed many times. I've leaned to my own understanding. I haven't trusted in the Lord in situations in life that I should have. I'm still learning to live by faith.
Amen.
And I will be until the day I die. But I know in those times that I lived by faith, it was the greatest time. The time of contentment, peace, joy. The time of being able to be used of the Lord in a manner that would honor and glorify Him. So let's look into the Word of God tonight in the time that we have left. Let us consider some things. What is it to live by faith? What does that mean to you as an individual? To live by faith. Well, first of all, in the context which we find here in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it simply means this. That you hold to your confidence in Jesus Christ until the end. Now I believe, of course, that everyone that's saved by the grace of God, that God has given unto them a God-given faith. And that faith will never, my friend, fail. It might get small. It might be like Peter's, when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but Jesus Christ prayed for him. He says, I prayed that thy faith fail thee not. His faith, he's still in his heart. Embraced Jesus Christ with all that he was. He knew he was his Lord. But out of the fear of man which overwhelmed him, he denied the Lord 3 times. But his faith didn't fail him. But this portion of Scripture tells us this. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence. And then it talks down here a little bit more and it says this. He says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. In other words, we hold to that profession of faith in Jesus Christ tenaciously because that's our only hope.
Amen.
We have no other hope.
Amen.
We hold to it because we know He's our Lord and He's our Savior.
Amen.
He's the only hope we have, not only in the life to come, but in this life also. In the book of Colossians, in the first chapter of that book, we find here it says this, the first chapter of Colossians, starting in verse 20 of that portion of Scripture, it says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. That's me. Enemy. Enemy of God, yet He hath reconciled through the blood. He says, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am now a minister. Let me just caution you in this. You know, so many people think that when you read a scripture like verse 23, if ye hold, that it's speaking about there's a possibility you could lose your salvation. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about just evidencing the fact that you are saved.
Amen.
If you hold, you are saved. Like Paul said, we're not of those that draw back unto perdition, but those that believe unto the saving of our souls. But a person that can draw back from his profession of faith and say, well, I once believed on Jesus Christ, but I don't believe anymore. That man never did put himself upon Christ.
Amen.
He never laid all of his hope upon Him. He just took up religion. Christ saves to the uttermost.
Amen.
Those that come unto Him, He said, in no wise will I cast out.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will and is able to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by Him,
amen,
seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. I'm not saved because of what I am. I'm saved because of what Christ is.
Amen.
I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by what Christ has done,
amen,
and is doing,
amen,
and shall do.
Amen.
If you hold fast your confidence to the end, that's living by faith. There will be periods in time when you will find that your faith is small. But my friend, you still have faith, haven't you? You'll be like those disciples upon the sea when the billows roar and so forth. And Jesus Christ was in the back of the ship sound asleep. And the Lord had said to them previously, He says, let us go on over to the other side. And the disciples were fearful because the boat was filling up with water, and they went back and woke the Lord, and He says, Lord, don't you care? He says, we perish. And then He says unto them, oh, ye of little faith. And He killed them, stilled the waters, and the wind stopped. They just didn't listen to what He said, did they? They weren't really living to the totality of the faith that Jesus Christ said. He said, let us go to the other side. They should have just said, the Lord said, we're going to go to the other side. Let's just be at peace. But it was a testing of their faith. Our faith is tested awful sometimes.
Amen.
And it's not that the Lord might know how strong we are in faith. It's to let us know how weak we are in our faith. But yet our faith is not extinguished. It's still there. They went back to the Lord, didn't they? In the time of fear, they called upon the Lord. Just like Peter when he went to step out of that ship and walk on the bolstery sea. And the Lord had said, come on, Peter. And Peter stepped out upon that word and he walked on the water until he got to what? Looking about the circumstances around him, he started to reason with himself. What am I doing out here? I can't walk on water. And he started to sink, didn't he? But he did. He kept his eyes off from the Lord, didn't he? But thanks be unto God, he cried unto Jesus Christ. Christ lifted him up.
Amen.
That's what we do. That's one of the exercises of faith when we come into times of great distress in our life. Where do we go? We go to the Lord, don't we? Because we know He's the only help we have. He's the only sure hope we have.
Amen.
And the sure help we have. So I would simply say this. To live by faith means to hold to that confession of faith, that confidence you have in the Lord until the very end. And you never relinquish it. But then you find in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, you find something about faith that is brought before you. And we're not going to preach to you anything that you already have not heard. But every one of these verses of Scripture there in the 11th chapter says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. All of these Old Testament saints, and in fact, every forerunner of our present day saints, they all lived by faith, didn't they? By faith. And then it says there in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We find in this portion of Scripture there's some elements of faith which will be manifested if our faith is right. First of all, we find living by faith is an awareness of God's presence with us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that's not just believing that God exists. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I believe God exists." And then they walk by their own reasoning as how to serve him. My friend, the devil believes God exists too. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. Because he knows God's word is true. But this is this. We believe God is. Not only that he just exists, but we believe that God is right with us. You know, the promise of Jesus Christ is, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The Holy Spirit of God dwells in every one that truly believes. God is always with us. And to live by faith is to live by that awareness that the Lord is right there with us. He's not in heaven somewhere off. He's not a help that's far off. He's a very present help in the time of need. He's right there. That not only gives us courage, it not only gives us comfort, but you know, it ought to scare us to death too sometimes. Because God knows exactly what we're thinking, and God knows exactly what we're, you know, our emotions. He knows everything about us. He's right there. You know, there's a lot of things that those of us that are Christians will do when we're all alone that we wouldn't do in the company of others. But you know, we're always in the company of our God.
Amen.
And he's the one we have to give an account to, isn't he? And sometimes we forget that. And when we forget that, we're not walking by faith. Because faith lays hold of the very truth. God is with us. He's always there. He always witnesses what we do. He's always like in the book of Revelation, he's standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's there observing everything that is done in those churches. And you read those seven letters to the seven churches of Asia and you find out he knows. He says, "I know thy works. I know everything about you." My friend, that's the same thing about us too. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that will speak before we're even formed in our mouth.
Amen.
He knows it all. There's nothing hid from him. The night does not. He says the night is as day with our God. Nothing's hid from him. And to live by faith is to live in that reality all the days of our life. Is to realize he's right there observing everything. But he's also right there as our help, a very present help in the time of need. That's what I say, it's a great comfort to us, but it ought to be that which would also cause us to tremble. The very thought, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. And you know, this has always been exemplified in Jesus Christ too. You know, Jesus Christ, when he walked upon the face of this earth, it's a great mystery concerning godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And I don't know half of it. But what God has revealed in his word is that Jesus Christ, as the man Christ Jesus, walked by faith.
Amen.
Just like you and I have to. He walked by faith. And Jesus Christ's life exemplified everything that I'm saying to you tonight. What did Jesus Christ say concerning his existence here upon this earth as the man Christ Jesus. He said this, "He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone." Jesus Christ always walked in the awareness of the presence of the Father with him. And we ought to do that too. That's walking by faith. Living by faith also in this portion of Scripture brings before us this, that the design of faith is to please Him. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's the design of faith. Faith is to please God. Not to please ourselves, but to please God. You say, how do you please God? Well, in the practical sense, pleasing God simply means walking in a way that God says we ought to walk in. You know, the Scripture tells us that there is a faith that has been delivered unto the saints once for all. It talks about the faith. Now, that's not what I exhibit as far as my, it's the object of my faith. The way I'm supposed to walk is according to the faith which God has once delivered unto the saints. Now, what is that faith? That faith is a system of doctrine which we find in the Word of God. And if I'm going to please the Lord, I'm going to have to walk according to what God says in His Word. You know, one of the saddest scriptures that we find in the Word of God is found back in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. In that 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He made this statement in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Again, I would caution you in this. It's not your doing God's will that gets you to heaven. But it's the evidence that you're going to heaven because you do the will of God, because you've been born again. And there's been a love of God shed abroad in your heart. And what does that love do? That love constrains you. But what does it constrain you to do? It constrains you to obey the God that saved you. Jesus Christ said, "If a man love me, he will keep my commandments." Who are they that love me? They that keep my commandments. In other words, the Word of God, the Scriptures, what God has revealed in His Word. What do you think this book is? It's the guidebook. It leads us to Jesus Christ and tells us how to walk with Him. Because He walked according to the Word of God, didn't He not? He did always those things which pleased the Father. He says, "I have glorified Thee. I finished the work which Thou gave me to do." In other words, He said, "I do not do anything of myself. I only do that which the Father has shown me." God shows us what is acceptable in His sight, to please Him. We have no right, as our brother Short said before, we have no right to change the Word of God. We have no right to alter it. We have no right to do anything that God says not is just and proper, which is found in His Word. To walk by faith simply means this. When God says that, that's what I do. Because that's right. And remember what the statement was? That God has delivered this faith once unto the saints. God doesn't change His mind. Amen. A lot of people say this book is a living book. It is a living book. But it's not living in the way that a lot of people think that it says it's living. They say that what it is what? It can be changed. It changes with society. And what was good yesterday is not good today. But it is. This word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Every jot and tittle of it will be fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle which pertains unto Him. He said, I have not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And those of us that are saved by the grace of God, if we want to please the Lord, then the Lord has told us what pleases Him. And what pleases Him is to follow the guidebook. God's Word does not change. But men think they have the right to change it. In the days of Jesus Christ, when He walked upon the face of this earth, did He not chide the Pharisees for neglecting the Word of God and placing upon more importance their traditions? There's a lot of tradition in religion. Amen. And tradition is one of the hardest things to get rid of, especially amongst those who do not know or love the truth of God's Word. Tradition always outranks the Word of God with them.
Amen.
I think there's a portion of Scripture in the book of Titus that talks about to the unclean, nothing is pure to them. What does the Bible tell us about the Word? It is pure. To a person, my friend, who's not saved by the grace of God, this Bible doesn't really mean too much to them. They think they can change it and alter it whenever they want to. And Jesus Christ says, they made void the commandments of the Lord by their traditions. And in vain do they worship Me. My friend, if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have to walk according to the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Please Him. What pleases Him? What He says pleases Him. So in other words, we cannot alter it. We cannot change it. It is that which forever settled in heaven. And Jesus Christ Himself said, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me. And that ought to be our meat also. He said, I do always those things which please Him. Jesus Christ never pleased Himself. He always pleased His Heavenly Father. We find another thing in this portion of Scripture. And we're just giving you a synopsis of this. Take these things home and chew on them. But if you're not walking according to the Word of God, my friend, you're not walking by faith. You might be walking by a faith. There's a lot of faith that calls itself Christian. But can you go to the Word of God and back up what you say you believe and teach and practice in your life? If you cannot say, thus saith the Lord, then my friend, your faith is a faith, but it's a vain faith. But also in this portion of Scripture, look there again in the 6th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that seek Him. Or rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But notice it says, they come to Him. As you have begun in Christ, so continue ye in Him. How did you begin in Christ? You came to Christ, didn't you? You came to Him by faith, didn't you? You embraced Him as He is. Continue to come. You know, Jesus Christ says, I can do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. Walking by faith is coming to that realization. Even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot of ourselves do anything. We must continuously come to Jesus Christ for the grace and the strength and the guidance, the wisdom, everything that we stand in need of. Remember there in the Gospel of John, He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without Me, ye can do nothing. So many times we try to do everything that we do in the energy of the flesh, though, don't we? That's not walking by faith. Faith is realizing I can't do anything by myself. I cannot do it. That's why the Scripture tells us, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. We can't resist the devil. We can't walk the straight and narrow path that Jesus Christ has laid out for us in the Word of God. We cannot do any of that except we have what? We have the strength and guidance and the leadership of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must continuously come. We have a felt need because we are dependent. A lot of people don't like to be dependent upon other people. When it comes to the fleshly world, I hate to be dependent upon other people. I like to do things for myself. But when it comes to my Christian life, I cannot do anything by myself. And I know that I have to keep coming to Jesus Christ. It started out that way, and it will continue to go that way. And you know, in the life of Jesus Christ, what was he noted for primarily? He was a man who prayed always, didn't he? Are you a person of prayer? Do you continuously resort unto Jesus Christ in every circumstance and situation of life? My friend, if you're walking by faith, you will. You'll be a man of prayer too. Because you know your weaknesses. You know your failures. And you know that without Christ, you can do nothing. But I like that statement the Apostle Paul made. He says, with Christ, I can do all things. Where was his confidence? It wasn't in himself, was it? It was in his Lord. And when you come to a place in your life, you say, well, I can't love that enemy. Well, you're not walking by faith. Jesus Christ said, love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Pray for them. My friend, with Jesus Christ, we can do all things. When we come to the Lord and we say, well, I can't do that, my friend, you're not walking by faith. You're leaning upon your own understanding. Christ is able, and Christ will enable. A felt dependency upon the Lord. I can do nothing of myself, Jesus Christ said. But we find also that we cannot do anything without Christ. Felt dependency. Then look in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter and verse 1. Here's another thing. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes those things which we cannot see a reality. Amen. Faith allows us to live with eternal things in view. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. We cannot see our God, but he's just as real to us as I am to you right now. He's real. Heaven is a reality. We can't see it, but we know it's there. Hell is a reality. We can't see it, but we know it's there. You say, how? Because the Word of God tells us it is, and it makes it real to us. Amen. Faith makes it a reality in our soul. The saints of God, if you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, let's look at the father of our faith. Look at Abraham. Look there in the 11th chapter in verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of the same promise. Why did he do that? Abraham, he had a tent. What's a tent used for? Is it a permanent dwelling? No. He was a sojourner. He was just traveling through this world. He was looking for something that was better but was substantial. And he said here in this portion of Scripture, it says this. He says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His whole life was ruled by what? What he could not see. Walking by sight is being ruled by what you do see. The circumstances of life. Things come your way, and you feel sorrow, you feel pain, you feel discouragement, you feel worry. All of these things come when we walk by sight. But when we set our sights upon those things which are eternal, you know, the things of this world are going to just kind of fade away a little bit. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians. And look in the fourth chapter of that book. And I want you to start reading with me here in verse 8. We're not going to be much longer. But in verse 8 it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." It says, "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." He says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." You know, faith is contagious. If I walk by faith, it ought to excite you to walk by faith. But also, my faith is passed on from the next generation because what I believe, I speak concerning my faith, and God uses it to give faith unto others. It's a succession. You had somebody told you the gospel, didn't you? Well, they had somebody that told them the gospel. And somebody that told them the gospel before them. And so it says there that, it says, "We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, our Lord Jesus, shall raise up also, or raise us also by Christ, our Jesus, and shall present us with you." It says, "For all things are for your sakes." You know, if you took that and thought upon that just for a full moment, everything is for your sake. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Everything is for your sake. Amen. Everything that comes into your life.
Amen.
No matter what it is. And then notice this. "That the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound unto the glory of God." You are to be thankful always for all things. That glorifies God. Because all things are for your sake. And then notice what it says. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, when we go through sufferings in this life, and it is appointed unto us to suffer, it's not only given you in the behalf of Christ to believe on His name, but also to suffer for His name's sake. This is a place of suffering for a child of God. And if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. There will be those that will laugh at you, be think you're funny and you're strange and you're odd. You'll be an outcast with society. You'll be the object of persecution. They'll say all manner of evil against you falsely, Jesus Christ said, for my sake. But you know, all of our afflictions that we have in this world become more light when we look at the glories of heaven. Paul said, "The sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Not worthy to be compared. And I'm not tonight trying to you know, minimize people's sufferings that they have in this world. Many people go through great sufferings in this life. But you know the best way to make them lighter is to look unto the eternal things of God. Abraham enjoyed his life in this old world because he had his mind set upon something he could not see, but he knew it was there. And it was a city whose builder was God, that New Jerusalem, that place where God dwells. And he knew one day he's going to have it. Look back there in the book of Hebrews again, the 11th chapter. Oh my. Time does fly, doesn't it? Hebrews, that 11th chapter again. Notice again another example. Look at Moses. Down there in the 24th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Moses. This is by faith Moses, when he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the suffering of affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He did that by faith. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked for a reward that he's going to get one day. He didn't have it, but he was looking for it. And so what he was willing to suffer for the children of God and not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What we're simply saying is this: to live by faith is to live in the light of things not seen. I've been praying that the Lord would give me grace to live in the light of the blessed hope I have in Christ. He's coming. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. He's coming. That's what it says. Hold fast your confidence that you have in Him, because He's coming. And my friend, to live in that blessed hope, to live under the shadow of that in your life, it will cause you to be a holy person, to be a separated person unto your God. Because you're like Moses. You have respect unto the recompense of the reward. Because Jesus Christ, when He comes back, He says, I'm bringing my reward with me to give to every man. To live by faith, my friend, means that we got to look beyond this world and to look at those things which are not seen and to let them have the great impact in our life. That's why Abraham, he didn't drive his stakes too deep. He's ready to move. He was just a sojourner. Because he believed what his God had said, that there is a city. A permanent city, a permanent dwelling place that God would prepare for him. To live by faith is to realize that God will also bring us into judgment. To live by faith is to realize that everything that happens in our life is the eternal counsel of God concerning us. Remember what the book of 1 Thessalonians says in the 5th chapter? In the 5th chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, it says this. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. We ought to be a rejoicing people. There ought not to be a grumbler amongst us or a complainer amongst us.
Amen.
If we're walking by faith, it won't be. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Continuously depend upon the Lord. Continuously seek His guidance, His wisdom, His leadership, His strength. And then it says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I might have made mention of this before, and maybe a sermon that I preached here before, but listen, it is God's will that you give Him thanks for everything. But that scripture tells me you give Him thanks because that which you experience right now is God's will for you. right now. It's God's will for you right now. I don't believe that the life of a Christian is something that is haphazard. I think it's already drawn out. I think it's already, the course has already been laid out for each and every one of us. Course is laid out for us. What happens to me today is exactly what God determined would happen back in eternity past. And what happens to me, he said, is for my good. Because it's a loving Father. Should I not be thankful for it? But we have a tendency to look upon the situation, circumstance of life. We're like Jacob many times. He says, "Whoa, all these things are against me." When all the Lord was working in the life of Joseph to keep that whole family alive. We have a tendency to walk by sight, don't we? You walk by faith. And you will find that you will learn contentment. You'll find that there will be a joy that will be in your life. Even the times of great sorrow, there's still going to be a joy in your heart because you know this is what the Lord would have for me. This is His love manifested to me. You're going to have a peace. Are you plagued by worry? Being overly concerned about things in life? Then just trust in the Lord. It all works out for our good. Do you want to be used of the Lord to be a good witness for Him and to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You know, your grumbling, complaining, your worry and your fretting, that's a bad witness, isn't it? Why would people ever ask for the hope that's dwelling in you if you're such? But when they see circumstances come into your life which ought to bring you down and cause you to be in great distress, and they see you just continuing on, just the same as you always did before, and you have a peace about you that they just can't understand. Then they say, "Why are you different than I? Why doesn't this bother you like it bothers me?" It gives you an opportunity to say, "I've got a Lord. I've got a God that's able to deliver me. And a God that's with me all the days of my life." And He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He's my Lord. He can be yours too. If you'll simply repent and trust in Him. The just shall live by faith. Not might, not should. The just shall live by faith. But we're to increase in that faith, aren't we? We're to strengthen that faith. And every situation in life, when you experience the presence of the Lord and the strength of the Lord, and you see that the Lord is the one that's handling it, that strengthens your faith too, doesn't it? And every time you read a promise in the Word of God, and every time you see what God has commanded you to do, and you start following that, and you see God working and God blessing in it, it strengthens your faith, doesn't it? Let us walk by faith. Let us believe our God. Let us to trust Him in every situation and circumstance of life. Let us see that the old paths are the best paths.
Amen.
God bless.